Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined now, as we are every week, by Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new, brand-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Equipped for adventure, he joins us now. Nick, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time, as always.
Always, guys. Good to be with you.
So how about these Golden State Warriors? I mean, we talk about legacies and we talk about runs, and last year they could not figure out the L.A. Lakers after barely getting past the Kings. And last night they shoot 60-plus percent from three. They've been one of the best teams in the NBA since January or whatever threshold we're using randomly. Should I believe, and should we believe, that this year, if we get that matchup again in the play-in, Warriors-Lakers, it would be different?
I would not bet against Steph Curry. I just wouldn't do it. I've seen it far too long to think that that guy won't be able to turn things on. And as he outlined, the way they've been playing, if they can get these guys all to step up at the same time on top of what Steph can do when you have Draymond and Clay and Wiggins has gotten it together a little bit more the last couple weeks, I wouldn't want to see them in any kind of play-in. Or if I were like the Timberwolves or the Nuggets in a series, Golden State still has a lot of belief within themselves. And the reason they do is because they've been there so many times before, but it's because Steph is still Steph. And when you have that type of weapon that you can throw out there, especially in these one or two game gotta have situations, I would not bet against the Warriors with where they're at. I say all that, though, and say usually when a team is that inconsistent throughout the year, it's hard for them to turn it on. But this is Steph Curry, and this is a group that a large part of which has won so many titles together.
How does Chris Paul fit into it, if he does at all? Because that's one thing. When they brought him over, I said, no, that's not what they need. That he's an ISO guy. He's pound the ball into the hardwood guy. He's not a guy that ball's going to stick with him. But if his numbers have been good. Just how would you characterize this year for him there? How much has he helped them this year, if he has?
Well, you and I had the same thought, because when they made that deal, it's like, man, they must have wanted to get off that Jordan Poole contract,
right?
In a horrible way, which they did, clearly. But to see Chris Paul on the Warriors with his style, I think he can help in the postseason because he's been in those situations. And I would tell you, having been around the Warriors a couple times this year, a couple of weeks ago in Orlando, I think they actually do like him, and he's fit in just fine as one of those veteran leader guys. But in these situations where you're playing the same teams and and you're trying to find an edge wherever you can, I don't think Chris Paul is that much of a difference maker at this stage of his career. It's weird that he's now with the Warriors and they may lean on him for some minutes here, but Chris Paul is not the Chris Paul that we were used to for so long. And as far as the year goes, I think Chris Paul's tenure with the Warriors will be, it got him off of Poole's contract, and that was the case at the beginning when they made the deal, and that will be the case at the end of the season as well.
Now, Nick, we've been doing this hit for a few weeks now. And we are hearing via sources that are very embedded in the community that you have family that lives in Memphis. And is this true? You have family that lives here? And you didn't tell us?
Sarah and Charlie, hello to them. I know my cousin Sarah tries to listen every week when we're on. And nice. And guys, Memphis is one of my favorite places. I mean, I love seeing them, but I love being in y'all's city. It's just, it is a great, great place. There's all kinds of different stuff to do, and most importantly, it's different. So yes, I very much have family there. I love my time when I get down there, and I look forward to my next trip back.
You know, in terms of this thing in Memphis, as everybody here is just trying to get to the end at this point, right? I mean, we all saw the.
I don't blame them.
There was a sequence last night where Wembanyama's under the rim, and it's a 3-on-1 break, and like nobody wants to even come within 10 feet of him. There are no finishers on this group, so we're all just ready to move on to the next iteration of this. Like, what's a realistic ambition in terms of should they feel like they could be a one seed? Should they feel like they could get right back to being a two seed? Like, what do you sort of think the takeoff and the resumption for this Grizzlies core can look like next year?
I think being a one or two seed is just too much to expect. I mean, if Memphis really, if we're being real honest about the situation they're in, that I don't think the window is closed by any stretch. You get Ja back, and you get the core around him rolling. You can be high atop the West, but I think that the window of being the top team and that team that was striking fear into everybody's heart, that's shut for now. And we've hit on it in the last few weeks, but when you have the pieces that they have, you can't just say, all right, well, it's over as far as championship contention goes, because I don't believe that completely, but I sure as heck don't think they're as good as Denver. And I think Denver is so far beyond everybody else right now, if they do stay healthy with Jokic, that it just kind of, there's a part of it that just doesn't matter unless you're banking on somebody getting injured and going down, which nobody would want to do in any situation. So if you're Memphis, I think a reasonable expectation is you get Ja back next year. Either you make the pick, you trade the pick for some more veteran help. We'll see what the front office decides there. But I would expect them to be maybe in that 4-5 range if everything goes to plan. Maybe you push for a little bit more. I just don't see them being better than Denver at all. And then, of course, we've seen OKC that has a very young core with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Ant Edwards in Minnesota have kind of pushed their way through. So there are always a lot of different factors in play, as we know. If Ja comes back and he's the Ja Morant that we've seen in the past and he's focused on the floor, Memphis still has plenty of time to do what they want to do. If he's not, then shut it all down and forget it, because if your star isn't playing at that level or doesn't want to be locked into the game and what he has to do on a professional end, none of the other stuff matters.
Nick, what'd you take it back to Golden State real quick, because Clay was on that Draymond podcast. I thought it was really interesting. You know, Clay's a guy who's put, you know, Jaren Jackson and the Grizzlies in their place about things they've tweeted or said. He was doing it with the Rockets the other day, you know, when they had the shirt Warriors come out to play. And he had the opportunity, Draymond, saying, hey, be brutally honest, to tell me how you feel about, you know, my play, the ejections, everything else. And I was listening to him, and I couldn't wait for Clay to put him in his place. Man, you embarrass us when you get ejected and everything else. And he didn't do that. And a lot of people jumped on him and were critical of him and said, you know, you had this opportunity and you didn't. You went soft. But listening to him, I'm just curious what your opinion was, because the one thing I did think he was being honest on, even though I was a little disappointed, I thought he'd give it to him a little more, was he said, look, when you're out, you know, me and Steph, we're not these vocal guys. And when we're shaking our heads, it's not as much about, oh, man, Draymond screwed up again. It's that we can't be ourselves with you off the floor. And it really did get me to thinking, you know, we've often said, man, it feels like they're giving him a pass in that organization. And that's why he operates the way he does. But it does feel like it's their DNA, and that they can't operate if that part of their body is not on the floor. Just what did you think about Clay's comments to Dre?
I think it's a really strong point to highlight, because what people don't understand about the Warriors group sometimes is that people say, oh, you've given Draymond 97 different chances. Well, guess what? They need him. there's a reason why he keeps getting every chance in the world and may get a few more. He gives them an emotional engine that they cannot replicate anywhere else.
It's facts.
And I would tell you, in my experience around that team over these last 5 or 6 years, Clay, when he's in the right mood, and very clearly he was, to sit and do a long podcast. I mean, guys, for context, I'm scheduled to talk to Clay today for the next couple minutes. Clay will be looking at his phone. He'll be looking around the room. Oh, man. He's looking for anything to get him out of there. You have Clay for maybe 3-4 questions. And once he decides he's done, see ya.
Wow.
He just gets up and leaves. So I say all that because Clay, again, in my opinion, when he wants to be, is the most honest interview on that team. Mm. He'll say stuff sometimes where you go, okay. And I understand why people would listen to that and say, you could have said this or that. But this is an organization that walks on eggshells around Draymond.
Yep.
Because they don't want to upset him. And if he gets upset, they know that, you know, it can all kind of fall apart. So, of course, Steph is the most important player. Of course, he's still playing at an MVP caliber level. But if you don't have Draymond locked into things the way that he has been for the most part, aside from that Orlando game a couple weeks ago, you're not going to win.
That's right.
And I watched it with this Warriors team. Steph gets hurt, and Draymond would show up some nights and be focused and ready, and that team would play. And he wouldn't be, and he got tossed, and they could care less. He really sets the tone for them emotionally, and it's why the main characters in play, Kerr and Steph and Clay, have responded the way they have through the years.
Talking to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell here on the show, brought to you by Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Billy Donovan has been linked to Kentucky. It doesn't sound like there is much traction there. It seems like Kentucky's focus is elsewhere, although, you know, if Billy Donovan, if the indication was that he would be interested, I assume that's where it would go. Would there be any logic for Billy Donovan to get back into the college ranks and move on from the Chicago franchise?
Guys, if he leaves the Bulls to go to Kentucky, it would truly shock me. Here's why. There's way more pressure. Way more pressure at Kentucky than there is to be the coach of the Chicago Bulls, which sounds crazy because it's the NBA and it's pro ball. But, I mean, this is the Bulls team that if they squeeze out a play-in appearance and an extra home game, the Reinsdorfs are happy. Nobody's pressing them to go win a title because they don't have the talent to do it. I have talked to plenty of college coaches through the years who have made that jump from NCAA to the NBA, and they all say the same thing. They love it in the NBA because you don't have to recruit. And most of those conversations, guys, happen, you know, over the years. It wasn't even in the last couple of years. How many of these college coaches are miserable with the NIL and the teams can change every year on the fly and the guys aren't locked in the same way because, to their credit, because of the system, they can go get more money somewhere else the next year. So there are a lot of factors in play, and I say all that because if you're Billy Donovan and you're more towards the end of your career than the beginning and you've had the success you had at Florida, unless you just wanted to ask for, and I'm sure Kentucky would probably do it, double your salary.
Right.
If money's most important factor, sure. Okay, go to Kentucky and deal with all the pressure that comes with it. If it's not, there's just no way. There's no way you would leave Chicago for Lexington and all the hoopla that surrounds that program.
Exactly right. Hey, Nick, man, great stuff as always. We appreciate your time every week.
Nick, thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Always, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yep. Yes, sir.
It is Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.